When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? You are back with District Baseball. Congratulations, you just hit the best baseball source you could possibly hit here on YouTube, or if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, appreciate you listening on the podcast format as well. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at the Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him on Twitter at 2Rs, 2S, at reverse 2Rs, 2Ss. Did I mess that up? It's been a minute. At reverse 2Rs, 2Ss, in the show at District BSB. Today, we are tackling the entire American League as we do our American League preview. We're going to go team by team, division by division, break down our quick thoughts on how we think the division is going to play out, some players to watch, what kind of the foundation for each team is and how it stacks up in a kind of interesting, ever-changing American League kind of playoff, hopeful status, all that good stuff. But Trey, what's going on?
Nick, I moved. I've been in the process of moving.
Yep.
So uploads and episodes have been a little bit slower than normal, but we're back.
Yep.
I'm settled in and we're going to be back on the weekly content grind. But yes, we are going to be doing our AL previews. And I think we're going to do it by first of all, talking about some of the big names, pitchers and hitters on each squad, but also some players of interest that we just wanted to talk about. And we'll go ahead and start with the AL East. Which AL East team would you like to start with, Nick?
Let's start at the top. I mean, it was the best team in the AL. Obviously, they couldn't get it done last year in the playoffs, but best team, won over 100 games. The Baltimore Orioles, they are led by their young core of Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, and Cedric Mullins. Obviously, not necessarily a young guy, but definitely part of their core. Their pitching staff was bolstered with the addition of Corbin Burns and rounding out their kind of top three. We're doing top three hitters and top three pitchers. Corbin Burns, Kyle Bradish, and Grayson Rodriguez. Of note, Kyle Bradish obviously starting the year on the injured list. And I mean, Felix Bautista would be in this top three if he wasn't hurt. But that takes me right into my player to watch. And that is the guy that's going to be at least attempting to fill those shoes of the best closer entrance in baseball. And that's Craig Kimbrel. He definitely won't come close to the closer entrance or anything like that. The Orioles are going to win a lot of games. Like, I don't think anyone's really disputing that or expecting a huge regression from them, a huge step back. Will they be as good? I don't know. I think so, but I don't know. Craig Kimbrel is going to obviously play a large part of that, closing out games against, teams in a really good division, as well as obviously around the league. It's just a matter of like, is Craig Kimbrel, he's certainly not the Craig Kimbrel of, you know, early 2010s and Hall of Fame trajectory and all that stuff, but he's still serviceable. It's just what Craig Kimbrel you're going to get, because he hasn't been the most consistent reliever in baseball in the past couple of years. I think he's still serviceable. I don't blame the Orioles at all for choosing him to fill that void. And they do have other options too, should Craig Kimbrel falter. You know, Yandier Cano would probably be the next man up, but it's something to note. Like, we've seen as Nationals fans, we've seen bad bullpens really sink a otherwise sturdy ship. So, you know, if the Orioles and Craig Kimbrel can't get it done, this team might look a lot different than a lot of people expect.
That's a great pick, because he does have a kind of a big role to fill on that team. As for me, my player to watch is actually Cedric Mullins. He didn't have the best year last year, and he was also injured for parts of the season. A lot of nagging stuff with him. But we got to remember, this was a 6-WAR player 2 years ago, Cedric Mullins. If he can get back to anywhere near that production with this young core around, I mean, that's just another addition to add to this amazing team. And I think he's totally capable of getting back to the 2021 or even the 2022 levels would be acceptable. So hopefully he gets healthy and he's back at it in that center field position, because he can really, really run him down out there when he is right.
Yeah, Cedric Mullins is like, if I had a top three guys I automatically trade for and MLB The Show, Cedric Mullins is in that top three.
Now, especially value-wise, he's not as high as he was, but his talent level is definitely there. So I'm excited to see what he's got this year.
For sure. All right, moving on to the next team. That is the Tampa Bay Rays. The season hasn't even started yet, and they are decimated by injuries.
Especially
in the pitching department. If you're kind of trying to predict their top three, it's not the easiest thing in the world. Zach Eflin's in there, which is kind of hilarious to think about. Obviously, again, being a Nationals fan and Zach Eflin with the Phillies and goes to Tampa and was like a Cy Young candidate for a lot of the year. Yeah. Aaron Civale comes over from, I believe it was a trade from, I think, the Guardians.
Yep.
And then Pete Fairbanks, I threw a reliever in there. Because we know how the Rays like to utilize their bullpen. I'm sure Jason Adam could be in that conversation as well. But yeah, this rotation looks a lot different. I mean, this is the team that traded away Blake Snell after, you know, not immediately after a Cy Young win, but shortly thereafter, because they had so much depth in their starting rotation. And then obviously Glasnow's gone now too. So
yeah,
this rotation has big question marks. I'll say their hitters as well. Diaz Paredes and a Rosarena. Those guys have been around, at least, you know, were solid last year. So there shouldn't be too much difference in the lineup, because, you know, that's not necessarily ever been the Rays' strength. It's always been their pitching and kind of their defense. And, you know, it's not small ball, but it's definitely the Rays brand of baseball that they've been playing. And it seems like they're going to try to play that as well. So it really just depends on who that next pitcher is that, you know, emerges out of nowhere and, you know, sub 3 ERA in 180 innings or whatever. But yeah, this team looks a lot different with Rasmussen and why can't I think of his name? The lefty McClanahan.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, geez. I wasn't sure if it was just like St. Patty's Day in my head or something like that. I was like, so a lot of injuries in the rotation, and you would think I would pick someone to kind of be a dark horse to emerge, but I'm actually going to go Junior Caminero for my guy to watch. This is a guy that was just a throw in a trade a couple of years ago, and now he's like the third ranked prospect in baseball.
Yeah. Dude can rake.
Whatever the Rays are doing needs to be studied. And I just don't know how every team is not replicating it. Yeah, they don't spend money, but somehow they consistently churn out talent. And turning Junior Caminero into a top 5 prospect in baseball is insane. And I can only imagine he's going to hit the ground running when I assume he's going to break camp with the team. I haven't been too plugged in. He made his debut late last year, so I would assume he debuts or starts the year with the team this year. I think he's going to be very, very good. And I kind of just am using the Rays track record with prospects as my foundation for that argument.
Yeah, I think that's totally valid. The dude absolutely has raked at every level of the minor leagues. So he should be providing a nice power threat for them. As for me, I went with whoever is going to replace that guy. That we won't say his name.
The shortstop for the Tampa Bay Rays, shortstop.
Who the hell are they going to put out there? They trade for Jose Caballero. Not a bad idea. Taylor Walls is still there. He's never really taken off the way they expected him to. And they also sign Ahmed Rosario as a sort of veteran. Hopefully he still got it deal. And, you know, the Rays can seemingly turn dudes into great players. So it's not impossible that they could do something. However, replacing that level of production is going to be really, really difficult. And I honestly don't know how they're going to do it. They probably are going to, you know, it's going to be a revolving door there, I would assume, to see what fits best. But yeah, that's a big loss. Obviously, it had to happen because of what he did. But at this point, they're just trying to fill that role with a pulse that can like sort of kind of play good and
right.
just hope that the rest of the team takes shape around it.
It's just weird. Like, their entire team has basically come out of nowhere. No one on their team outside of like one or two were highly touted players.
I know. So. Once again, I'm looking at this team. I'm like, this team's what? This is nothing. And then they're going to, they'll end up
they'll
with
win
90
95
wins.
Games.
Yeah. And it's crazy how they do that.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to a team that has plenty of recognizable names, but somehow always consistently underperforms. That is the Toronto Blue Jays, led by obviously Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, George Springer, kind of the top three in their lineup, and then Gausman, Berrios, and Bassett in the rotation. Listen, I'm a fan of the Blue Jays, but they are, you know, testing my patience. I keep thinking this year's the year, this year's the year, this year's the year. And I actually don't think this year's the year, being 2024. Had they made a super aggressive move in free agency and gotten a Shohei Ohtani, which it sort of sounds like they were involved towards the end, but we don't really know how aggressive they were. You know, they let Matt Chapman walk, which is fine. If you don't want to pay Matt Chapman, there's plenty of arguments not to pay him. They replaced him with Justin Turner, again, fine, but you know, trusting a 39 pushing 40 year old to continuously produce is kind of risky business. And you know, that also adds to the fact, like, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hasn't looked great in the past couple of years since his breakout year in what, 2021. Is that how long it's been already?
And you've
also had a couple other guys, and I'm gonna kind of steal your thunder here and kind of look at the whole position. The catcher position with the Blue Jays, we thought was a strength, and I think it still kind of is, but not as strong as we thought. I think all catcher, or all right, so I'm including Dalton Varsho as a catcher, even though he's kind of an outfielder now. But Kirk, Jansen, Varsho, all like seemingly good players, but all kind of really regressed or took a step back or were not as expected last year. So can one, two, hopefully all three of them take a step forward and really elevate this team? They really need a left-handed power bat. And I know you're going to talk about that some here in a second, but they still don't have an obvious candidate. So they really need the guys that kind of underperformed to at least get back to the back of the baseball card or take that next step forward, as I'm sure they really are expecting those players to do, because they traded Gabby Moreno for Dalton Varsho, and now Gabby Moreno looks better than anyone on the Blue Jays team. So it's kind of just, you know, obviously the benefit of hindsight, but the Blue Jays are trying to compete. They've made an aggressive move. It seems to sort of, Varsho's not bad, but seems to sort of have backfired because they traded Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in the deal as well. Yeah. So it's kind of just like, if the Blue Jays truly hope to take that next step forward, it's going to need to come from their lineup, because their pitching's there. It's just their lineup has kind of been underwhelming in a lot of respects.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, again, on paper, this is a really good team. It's been that way for a couple of years, maybe 3 years at this point, and they just haven't quite taken that next step. It's there. All the pieces are mostly there. A guy that's going to really help them out, if he can figure it out again, is Alek Manoah, who I want to talk about briefly, because he was top three in Cy Young.
Yeah, who knows what's going on with him?
I mean, it's maybe a hope. I think it's it could be a mental thing. You never know. But he was horrendous last year. If he can figure it out again, then I mean, you're looking at one of the best rotations in baseball.
He's probably a change of scenery guy.
Could be. Yeah. We'll see how that ends up working out. And yes, they signed Joey Votto. I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't even know if he's going to end up playing on the major league team. Probably will, just because he's Joey Votto. But I love him, and I hope that he does. And I hope that he
I love him.
Pretty much. I hope that he puts up like a 30 homer season somehow. Like, that's very wishful thinking, obviously, but I'd like it to happen.
Yeah, they need a lefty power bat. So if Votto can maintain his kind of new approach to hitting more home runs or pulling the ball in the air, who knows? He might find himself with a pivotal role on that team, because obviously Brandon Belt's gone now too. Mm-hmm. All right, Moving on to the New York Yankees, a kind of different looking Yankees team. This is one of the years in recent years where I'm just like, okay, basically since what, 20, what was the ALCS with the Astros, 2018? Or was that 2019, the Altuve 17. Walk-off? I don't even remember.
Well, they had 17 and 19, I think.
Anyways, it's been at least 5 years since I'm like, okay, the Yankees look like they could do something this year. They obviously traded for Juan Soto. They paired him with Aaron Judge. Gleyber Torres really had a strong year last year. So that's kind of the top three in the lineup. And you mix in some bets like, you know, LeMahieu and Rizzo. Decent lineup. But then they went out and added Marcus Stroman, which is just hilarious considering how much Marcus Stroman trolled Yankees fans.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Carlos Rodon, they signed him. I was a huge Rodon fan. But obviously, if you go back to like him as a prospect, it was very injury and inconsistent and, you know, it not the safest bet. The Yankees took a chance and we're kind of seeing that, you know, why teams were hesitant on paying Rodon. Clearly, you know, we talk about the Rays, but the Giants pitching factory, they turned Kevin Gausman's career around. They turned Carlos Rodon's career around. It's just kind of crazy. And obviously Garrett Cole's still there, but the guy I want to talk about is Anthony Volpe.
Good choice.
I don't know. I don't care to be plugged into Yankees Twitter and get their thoughts. It's from the outside perspective, it seems like it's kind of split. Some are like, oh, he's just super young. He was 21 last year, still hit 21 home runs, like for a rookie campaign, like it's fine. But then if you look at the numbers, if you just take the home runs out of it, even if you include the home runs, like the slugging and the OPS is not great. So it's like, you know, you're looking at the numbers and looking for some sign of hope or optimism, and there just isn't much. He's still young, so I'm not counting him out. But you're just like, what the heck? Like, where am I supposed to, you know, see the future for this guy outside of the home runs? And even with the home runs, the numbers aren't great. You know, he was terrible against righties. He was kind of terrible in general. His second half was worse than his first half. Like his, you know, I don't know. It's just such a kind of not talked about enough area that the Yankees just don't develop guys. Like they've had so many kind of top prospects that have just kind of faltered and gone elsewhere and had fine careers or just have never played again. Like I think as Waldo Cabrera kind of falls in that category too. Like the Yankees did not want to trade him, and he's kind of looking not great either. So they're young. We'll see what happens. And maybe with the team a little bit more competitive, especially on offense, it'll take some pressure off these guys to really, you know, pick up the slack. But that obviously shortstop is a very premium position. And I don't know that the Yankees are feeling strongly about Anthony Volpe just yet.
Yeah. Great glove. We should point that out.
Yeah. Good point.
I'm not sure that the bat is ever going to be as much like the expectations for him were extremely high. And I don't think that was necessarily fair to him. I would like to see him, if he can get to like a just above average bat with his glove, he's going to be a very valuable player for them. I think he's potential. I don't think he's going to be that some 40 home run guy, like some Yankees fans might think, but that's not a big deal. He doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
And my player to watch is Gleyber Torres, because
of course,
he's been a really consistently good second base. He's not the best, but he's been a really consistent good player. And I think there's something to be said about that, consistently good, instead of just having like one really great year and that's it. And he's in a contract year. I'm interested to see what the Yankees do if they try to extend him, because
especially
this is a guy they did
the same year. Yeah, that's true.
So maybe you try and get him on an extension. Might be too late for that. He might be wanting to go and test free agency now since he is in a walk year. But I'm interested to see how he plays headed into free agency. I'm interested in him as a free agent as well for my team, potentially. We'll see.
Selfish reasons.
Yeah. So, I'll be interested to see how he plays this year. Should be, he probably had his best hitting season last year of his career, I think. So that's a good sign for him. He's only 27. Too, which is crazy to think about. Feels like he's been around forever at this point.
Yeah, he came up young.
Yeah, definitely. So Let's see what Glaber's got for us in 2024.
Yep. And rounding out the AL East is the Boston Red Sox, a team that is not a small market team, but loves acting like such. They are led by Rafael Devers, Tristan Casas, and Trevor Story in their lineup. And their pitching staff slash bullpen, Brian Bello, Nick Pivetta, and Cutter Crawford. Kenley Jansen's still there, worth mentioning, but, you know, he kind of passed his better days, but still serviceable. So I just wanted to give him a quick shout out. The Red Sox, I don't have high hopes for. I mean, I despise the Nationals for the way they operate when they don't need to. I can only imagine what Red Sox fans are going through.
Yeah.
That's just inexcusable. It's you know, again, there's zero defense for behaving like the Red Sox are behaving, especially with some of the baffling decisions they made in recent years. I mean, look at that Mookie Betts trade. How's that working out for you? The guy I wanted to point out, speaking of a change of scenery guy, I think this really falls into that category, and that's Tyler O'Neill. Mm. I don't know what was going on in St. Louis. It seems like he was kind of just in the doghouse and could never escape, but Tyler O'Neill's kind of good, like pretty solid, has some speed. Obviously did not have his best season last year. I believe he dealt with some injuries, only played in about half the season. But like, this is a guy in 2021, you know, hit 30 plus bombs, was looking like a foundational piece for that next era of Cardinals baseball. And then, you know, who knows what happened. And I remember the kind of in clubhouse beef with, who's the manager? Ollie Marmol.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it just weird. So no surprise at all that he got traded. So now it's just, can he take advantage of the Green Monster, which we've seen so many hitters do over the years. Can he restore that value? I believe he's heading into a walk year as well. So he'll obviously want to perform well, so that way he hopefully gets paid next year. That's just kind of an intriguing outfield option, like I would have liked the Nats to do, but obviously our outfield depth is already extensive. So I kind of like Tyler O'Neill as a slight bounce back candidate this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good fit, that the Green Monster there. He can just pull some balls in the air. He should be running his maybe another 30 home run season. Yep. That would be good for him. My player to watch is Trevor Story, because he just hasn't been healthy since he became a Red Sox.
This is true.
And I just want him to be healthy and see what he's got, because this is one of the better shortstops, slash he's now going to be playing second base, which he's been playing for Boston. And he's done very well there as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, who's their shortstop right now? Actually,
I was going to say, is Story back at shortstop?
I don't know. He could be, honestly. I'm trying to think about who it is, but he might be playing short, but he was one of the better shortstops for a while. And we just haven't seen him on the field. And that's the key. I want to see a fully healthy season from him in Boston, and then I'll be able to judge if it was a successful contract or not. Because right now, obviously it's not, but it's not really his fault. I want to see where that goes. But the Red Sox, they're looking like a fifth place team in this division.
Yep. All right. So in that vein, what's your outcome for this AL East division?
All right. So AL East, this is tough, very tough. This is one of the best divisions in baseball, if not the best. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it to the New York Yankees as the division winners. I think we're going to have a similar thing to the Giants and Dodgers from 21, where both teams were the best team in
100 games. Yeah.
And I think the Yankees and Orioles are going to be right there.
Wow.
So I think the O's are also going to be extremely good and probably lose the division by a couple games, but they're still going to win 100 plus. So I'm putting them second. Blue Jays coming in third. Rays fourth. Red Sox dead last for me.
Okay. I am going Orioles.
Yeah.
But I do think the Yankees are very, very competitive, make the playoffs. One of those like better, shouldn't be a wild card team, but are a wild card teams that we've seen in the past decade or so. Three, I'm still putting the Rays. Somehow, some way, they always find a way. So it's just annoying. Four, Blue Jays, that doesn't feel good. But again, they've been really disappointing the past couple of years. And then five, Red Sox for me. So
yeah, I think, either way, you could have three teams from this division make the playoffs.
Agreed.
If all goes well, because the Blue Jays, they've been disappointing, but they are really good on paper. Like they really, should
really
be
good on paper.
Right there. It's we just this just hasn't happened yet. But
yeah, agreed. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the AL Central and rattle these off. We're going to start with the Minnesota Twins, led by Royce Lewis, I guess Carlos Correa and Byron Buxton. Who knows?
Yeah,
And then the rotation was much better last year, led by Pablo Lopez. That trade was an absolute win for them. Joe Ryan, again, another trade that really ended up being great for them. And then, I mean, Bailey Ober had a solid year, but you can't not include Johan Duran. And they're kind of top three pitchers. So arguably the best closer in baseball. I wouldn't go that far, but he's definitely up there.
Up there for sure.
The guy I want to talk about real quick is Brooks Lee. Obviously, we don't have a ton of information on him.
There you
he's still a top prospect. This is a guy I loved coming out of college. That was a 2020 draft. 2021. I can't remember exactly what draft it was, but I know the Nationals took Elijah Green, and I understand why they did. But Brooks Lee was like, man, if you just want a guy with a high floor, maybe not as high of a ceiling as someone like Green or some of the other guys in that draft, was like, man, Brooks Lee has a really high floor, and we're seeing that now. I have to imagine the Twins are only okay moving on from Jorge Polanco, who still has a lot of value, because someone like Brooks Lee was not far off. Mm-hmm. So we'll see when and if he comes up this year. I have to imagine he will, and where he plays, because he has a little bit of versatility. You would think, you know, you just play him at shortstop, but Carlos Correa obviously making a lot of money. I don't know if you move Carlos Correa to like third, or if Brooks Lee shifts to second, or I don't know exactly what the lineup will look like, but Brooks Lee is sure to have a part with the Twins, who are looking to repeat as division champs for the first time in a while. So I like Brooks Lee a lot. He's someone to watch for me.
That's a great pick, because I agree. I think he'll be called up this year for sure if he continues in the minor leagues. I went with Royce Lewis, previously mentioned, because we do think he's going to be one of the better players on this team. He just hasn't had the sample size. And honestly, that's a lot of these young Twins hitters. If you go and look through their roster last season, a lot of good numbers on a rate basis, but a lot of them were not playing full time, either due to injury or platooning or what have you. But Royce Lewis, obviously, when he was healthy, was insanely good for the Twins, great in the postseason, and is a huge it factor for them going forward this year. If he is this guy and he can stay healthy, he doesn't, I mean, I want to see him get, you know, over 120 games. He's had injury issues a lot throughout his career. So maybe not a full season, but like, give me 120 of Royce Lewis, and we're looking pretty solid. For this Twins lineup, because they do have a lot of young hitting talent. That's we just had to see it over a lot larger sample size.
Yeah, some electric postseason home runs too. So
So he's got the dog in him. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Cleveland Guardians, led by Jose Ramirez, Andrés Giménez, and Stephen Kwan. They love their brand of baseball, just singles, pesky getting on base, and then there's Jose Ramirez, who's just like kind of the Ferrari in the crack house. And then their pitching rotation, I mean, they were the pitching factory before the Rays or anyone else were. Shane Bieber's still there. You know, another Ferrari. And although, is he really a Ferrari anymore? I don't know.
It's more of like a nice Lexus.
Right. There you go. Tristan McKenzie and Emmanuel Clase, who is probably the best closer in baseball. And that doesn't even mentioned some other quality arms they have within their organization. And one I'm going to point out is Logan Allen. Not necessarily, you know, the ace or top half of the rotation kind of guy necessarily. And I know you're going to talk about one too, but I kind of expect Bieber to be moved at some point. I think it would kind of be silly for them not to, because I don't think they're going to be competitive even in a weak division. So it feels like you definitely want to trade Bieber. So that slides everyone up a slot. And if Logan Allen, who was a rookie last year, 125 innings, if he can kind of take another step forward and just be on that track, right? The Guardians have done this track where it's like solid rookie campaign, slightly better year two. And then year three is just like really, really good. That's kind of how it's been for a lot of their guys, Tristan McKenzie kind of being one of them. So I think Logan Allen's just going to be the next guy in a long line of guys that just have really benefited from being a pitcher in that organization.
That's a great pick. I think pitching is by far the strong suit of the Guardians. Yep. It's not even a question. I'm going with Tanner Bibee. He's kind of more on everyone's radar at this point.
Yeah, he is kind of.
But I'm thinking this dude has Cy Young potential, maybe not to win, but maybe to finish in like the top five, because he's already got 140 innings last year. And that was after coming up late in the season. So that's a lot of innings already under his belt. And he was great. He was phenomenal. So I'm really excited for him. And also I want to point out Gavin Williams, who's another pitching prospect for the Guardians, who also came up last year and also pitched really well in a short time. This team basically revolves around this rotation. If this rotation is as good as we think it can be, the Guardians are going to be competitive. If it's not, they're probably not going to be competitive. Because they also, like you said, Triss McKenzie, he was injured for most of last season. If he comes back and is anywhere near where he was at, all of a sudden that 1-5 is ridiculous on paper. So interested to see what the Guardians are able to do, because they are just so, it's almost entirely predicated on pitching and defense right now, which can work. It worked for them a couple years back, sort of, but is it sustainable? It wasn't last year. So we have to wait and see what goes on, but there's definitely some potential here in this rotation.
Yep. Agreed. All right, moving on to the Detroit Tigers, kind of led by Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, and Mark Canha now, I guess.
Yeah.
Their lineup is kind of funny to look at. And obviously, Javi Baez is still there as well. They have Cy Young hopeful Tarik Skubal leading their rotation. They added Jack Flaherty, which is kind of a good flyer for them, and Kenta Maeda as well. So they were solid last year, I think. Maybe at least slightly better than a lot of people had expected. I think AJ Hinch is just a really quality manager. Think of him whatever you want with the Astros stuff, but I think he's just a really quality manager. And if you turn the Tigers into kind of a respectable team, I don't think there's any disputing that. The guy I want to talk about literally just signed like a week ago. That's Gio Urshela. Tigers Park is not the most hitter friendly place, but this is a guy who was like, had an 800 OPS for the majority of last year before I think he like broke his hip. So we'll see how he bounces back, but that could be, you know, a trade candidate for them, which helps reinforce the farm system, potentially get some more pitching, which seems like they need. Really the Tigers just need like impact players. That's kind of what it is. They're doing a lot with a little right now. And if Skubal can, I mean, Skubal is already like really solid. So if he can, you know, take himself into that elite status, if Torkelson can be a little bit more consistent, you know, the Tigers could take another step. I don't think they're like a playoff hopeful, but I think they could finish with a record above 500 this year for sure. I think they have a lot of things going for them, but not enough going for them at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of guys, but they don't have the guy.
Yeah,
and they need to have that superstar player to help them out. I don't think this guy will be that guy, but I picked Parker Meadows as my player to watch, because I think he's going to be a solid outfielder. He can run him down in center field. That's no doubt. Let's see if the bat can hang. I'm interested to see how Riley Green transfers to right field if Parker Meadows does end up becoming the center fielder every day. I think it'll help Green, first of all, stay a little bit healthier, and also focus a little bit more on the bat, because I think he's got a truly elite bat potential. So I'm looking for Meadows and center to maybe take a little bit of a load off of him defensively, and give them maybe a legit bat, because they really don't have like a legit bat. Like, they have some guys who have potential and some good bats, but like, which guy in their lineup are you going to go circle and say that guy can't beat me? I don't really see a guy right now. So I think you're definitely spot on. They need to get a superstar from somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where.
Don't know how. It's not easy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, of course. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think also AJ Hinch as a manager definitely proved that he's still got it last year, because he did take this team to about 500. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone was expecting that. So
not at all.
Tigers are definitely intriguing team in this division.
Yep. For sure. All right. Moving on to another kind of intriguing team in the division. That is the Kansas City Royals, led by superstar I'm going to say it, superstar.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny P, hopefully bounces back and is healthy this year. And then that third hitter is kind of up for debate. I just threw Salvador Perez in there because he's like the only one kind of name brand. But their pitching staff looks a lot better, and that's led by kind of sensation sort of like out of nowhere, Cole Ragans. I mean, he looks great. Brady Singer, and then they added Michael Wacha as well as Seth Lugo to kind of round out that rotation. Before I give my player, like, would it shock you to your core if the Royals won the division?
It would shock me, but it wouldn't be as shocking in this division as it would in right. some others.
That's kind of what I'm feeling. Like, if the Royals just kind of exceed expectations, have that one outlier year, they could win 86 games and win the division. I think that's within the realm of possibility. Is it likely? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I think it's within the realm of possibility.
There is a chance.
And if you're thinking about there is a chance, right? There's been one statistical constant over the past 3 years with the World Series winners. And that's they have employed Will Smith. And that is the Royals signed. So the Royals are winning the World Series. So yes, I just want to throw that out there.
Forgot they already confirmed the World Series winner.
Yeah, that's my player to watch, Will Smith. It doesn't matter what he does, but you just got to watch him because whatever team he's on, that team wins. So there you go.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, actually, I like some of what this Royals team is building. If Cole Ragans is a legit ace, like Jesus, dude, this guy. He's throwing 100 with like
this is
crazy.
Like what the Tigers need, just yeah. a guy that comes out of nowhere and is without a doubt an ace. Like that's yeah. what they need.
Yeah. So if he is that ace, those depth signings for the rotation are perfect because then you're just trying to get some W's in between when you got your stopper at the top of the rotation. I'm going to go ahead and talk about Mr. Vinny P because I love him. He's just he's an interesting hitter because he's a first baseman. Who's not necessarily all predicated on power. He's a low strikeout, high walk rate type of player who does have pop. He's slugged 450 in his rookie season. Last year dealt with injuries right as he was getting going, kind of got hurt and was out for the rest of the year. So getting him back healthy is a huge injection of power and on base skills into this lineup, which, you know, playing at Kauffman is probably the kind of player that you want because, you know, home runs are a little harder to hit there. So I'm just interested to see. He's just an interesting hitter. He's a rare type of hitter that you don't see very often. First baseman, that's a contact oriented guy. And I love the fact that we can see different types of players in baseball. It's fun.
Yep.
So I'm hoping Vinny P will come back healthy and have a successful season.
Yeah, I think that's a popular breakout pick because
people seem to like
fun
the
to root for. Yeah, exactly. All right, I almost like just wrapped the division right there. Might as well, but there is one more team. The Chicago White Sox still exist. I don't know what the White Sox. Luis Robert, great. Yoan Moncada, solid. Eloy Jimenez, solid. It doesn't seem like any of them will likely be on the team at season's end. And then led by Dylan Cease, Michael Kopech, and Eric Fetty, who is my player to watch. Not for any reason other than I hope he wins the Cy Young. I just need the hilarity, is that a word?
Yeah.
That would ensue with Eric Fetty becoming a really, really good MLB pitcher. I'll just leave it at that. I love to watch the world burn. But yeah, Robert, Moncada, Jimenez, Cease, it doesn't seem like any of them will be in the White Sox for much longer. So, you'll be free soon, my boys. You'll be free soon.
Yeah. This roster's bad. I was looking over it the other night and just, they don't have much, man. It's pretty rough. I got two guys I'll mention, Michael Soroka, who you mentioned to me as just a bounce back guy, change of scenery guy. As well as Dominic Fletcher, who played for the Diamondbacks last year for a while and was pretty good. They just have a big backlog of players, so they moved him. He's going to have an opportunity to probably start for the White Sox. So that's pretty much it.
No, you said Dominic Fletcher, and in my mind, I thought David Fletcher. I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, kind of a good pick.
But yeah, no, Dominic
still a good
Fletcher,
pick, just not for the reasons I had thought in my head. So
played for Team Italy, was pretty good. 113 WRC plus in a limited sample size last year. So, I mean, we're really digging deep here. Let's just say that. But he could be good.
Yeah. All right. Call your shot. How does the AL Central finish out?
AL Central, I do have the Twins repeating.
Yep.
Then I got the Royals coming in at second place.
Same.
I think that they are primed to have a little breakout. So give me the Royals in second. One team is making the playoffs from this division. So I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs, but they'll be competitive. Guardians
first
at
team
three.
Ever to have a losing record to make the playoffs.
We'll see. Extended playoffs, you never know. I got Guardians at three, Tigers at four. I think they're going to be neck and neck. And then the White Sox are going to be so far down that you won't be able to see them.
I have the Tigers third. That's the only switch I have. But
yeah, I think that's,
I agree.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, those Royals, they're interesting. I like the Twins because of their pitching. I think their pitching will bring them back to the playoffs specifically. And if their lineup can just do enough, then they'll be good.
Yeah, they're good enough to win a division. Yeah. That's kind of, I think they're the only team that I can really comfortably say that about.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, let's round out the American League with the AL West. We'll start with the reigning World Series champion, Texas Rangers, obviously led by Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, and Adolis Garcia. Their pitching staff is a little bit in flux. Jordan Montgomery does not seem to be returning. They do have Nathan Eovaldi, who was clutch for them in the playoffs, John Gray. They do technically still have Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom. If you combine them into one pitcher, you might get one okay season. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, they are great, all-time greats, but, you know, just we have to view them in 2024, not view the entire body of work. The guy I really want to talk about, and it's kind of ironic, you and I have very similar picks for the guy to watch. I have Evan Carter. You have Wyatt Langford. It seems like both could be playing huge roles for the team this year. Oh, yeah. Evan Carter obviously came up late last year, had a lot of success in the postseason, was like, you know, setting all these rookie marks for postseason performance. I think he's going to be really good. I mean, if you've already done it in the playoffs, the regular season should be a breeze. So yeah, that's kind of my thought process.
Seemingly.
So I think he hit a grand slam the other night or other day in spring training. I think Evan Carter, they have a good one with Evan Carter in that's probably why you didn't see a big splash, even though their pitching needs some help. I get it, because between Eovaldi, Scherzer, and DeGrom, you've already committed a lot of money to your pitching staff. So it's kind of hard to invest more into your pitching staff. You might need to develop some guys or trade for some guys. But I really like Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford, for that matter.
Yeah, and that's the guy I was going to talk about, because, my God, the dude has done nothing but hit and hit and hit and hit since he got drafted. Now it is a small sample size, but he just continues to rake. I wouldn't expect him to start with the team. I would expect that he'll be called up, you know, probably by June at least.
Yeah.
Because so. Especially if he continues on the current pace he's on, I mean, the dude just won't stop. Yeah, the Rangers are really just, they're kind of just like hoping their offense can carry them for half the season until they get Scherzer back in June, hopefully. And also DeGrom is supposed to come back. So if they can get those guys back and they can actually pitch, all of a sudden the rotation doesn't look all that bad.
Looks solid, yeah.
But at the start of the season, it's going to be a little rough for them pitching. So we'll see how that goes. But their position players might be able to make up for it. The offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, so. Really, really, really good.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Houston Astros. They still exist. You can never forget about the Astros. And it's funny, you're like picking their top three in each for hitters and pitchers. It's not easy because there's like six guys that could make arguments for both. Ultimately, I think Yordan, Kyle Tucker, and Alex Bregman fall in that category. Jose Altuve, I still think, is going to be great. So that's no disrespect to him. Framber Valdez, I threw Justin Verlander in there. I know he's going to start the year on the IL, but he won a Cy Young very recently. So,
yeah,
until he actually shows signs of decline and it's not entirely injury related, I'm going to keep him in there. And I threw Josh Hader in there because I think people forgot they signed Josh Hader, and pairing him with Ryan Pressly already gives the Astros a really, really strong bullpen, which was kind of their question mark last year. They obviously have a great lineup, and I think a guy that he did contribute a lot to it last year, but I think will even contribute more to it this year. A little bit of a late bloomer. That's Chaz McCormick. Mm. 22 home runs, 70 RBIs, 3.6 WAR last year, 130 OPS plus. Like, he was really solid. And I think there's even more room to improve. He only played 115 games last year. Again, I'm not super plugged into what was going on with the Astros, but it seemed like he wasn't in Dusty's doghouse, but great name by Dusty's doghouse. There was just something going on with Chaz McCormick, so I'm not going to pretend to know everything, but like the numbers are strong, and you don't need to carry the entire load. You're supporting five, like, I was going to say all MLB type players with Yordan and Kyle Tucker and Bregman and Altuve in them. So it's like, you don't need to do much. If you can just be a tough out and, you know, answer the call when it is actually your time, which he kind of has been doing, he's going to be super solid for them. So I kind of like Chaz McCormick as a under the radar kind of guy for the Astros this year.
Hey, the Astros are interesting because there's definitely some question marks with their pitching staff right now.
Yeah.
But position player wise, they still have that core of amazing talent. And they are now going to be adding full time to that with Yiner Diaz as well, mm-hmm. who played probably about half the games last year and was a good bat when he did play. And Maldonado has now moved on to the White Sox. So Yiner Diaz is going to get a chance to play full time as a catcher. And I like that. I think that he's going to be a pretty solid addition to that lineup for them. And obviously, I mean, they're offensively, they're going to put up numbers. There's no doubt. If the pitching staff can hold up through some of these injuries, then they'll probably be fine. That's really the only question mark with this team.
Yep. Agreed. All right, let's move on to another team that I really don't know what they're doing, but they're on paper a good team, and that's the Seattle Mariners, led by Julio Rodriguez, the big dumper, Cal Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
And J.B. Crawford. Their rotation is excellent with Luis Castillo, George Kirby, and Logan Gilbert. I'll stick right there. I am a huge fan of George Kirby this year. So much so that I am now walking back my Kevin Gausman Cy Young pick.
Okay.
I really, really like George.
We still got a couple weeks.
I know. And the fact that I'm already like wishy-washy about it, it's going to be a last minute decision, but I really like George Kirby this year. I really like Luis Castillo too, but I think George Kirby is going to be like that 1B ace for them. If he's not already, but I'm talking about like, we had him top 10 pitcher in baseball, so it's not like this huge stretch or anything like that, but I think he's going to become a household name is my point.
Yeah.
George Kirby's really, really solid. So I think if the Mariners do well this year, it's going to be on the strength of that pitching staff.
Oh, for sure. They could have the best rotation in baseball.
Yeah.
If all goes well, they got that 1-5 is pretty, insane. I will go with a position player though, because JP Crawford had a ridiculously good season last
year. He did. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see if any of it's sustainable. I think some of it is. I'm not sure he gets back to a 130 WRC plus because he had a little help from hitting well on the road that really bumped that up. But I could see a 120, and with his plate discipline and walk rate, he's going to be an on-base threat. I'd actually like to see him start leading off and put Julio in that two spot. Have JP Crawford get on base for Julio, because I think his skills are to get on base more so than to do as much damage. Julio, on the other hand, is he's a free swinger who wants to hit. So I feel like doing that is going to be pretty beneficial if they were to do it. It wouldn't bother me if Julio hits leadoff either. Obviously, he's amazing. But that's what I would do personally. But I really like this squad. They're interesting, and their pitching is silly. Could be silly. So
yeah,
JP is my guy.
Yeah, their pitching could be really, really silly. All right, moving on to the next team in the AL West, that is the Los Angeles Angels. Obviously, no longer employ Shohei Ohtani. You can only imagine how much they're kicking themselves for not trading him last year. But nevertheless, they're led by Reed Detmers, Patrick Sandoval. I almost said Pablo. Patrick Sandoval and Griffin Canning in the rotation. I mean, that could look completely different at the end of the year. And then on paper, they're led by Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon. We'll see how long that lasts. And I guess, you know, Zach Neto is sort of that third guy. But again, that could look a lot different, too. The guy I wanted to shout out, I don't think he's necessarily going to be, you know, an all-star or future all-star or anything like that. But I just want to give him flowers again because he was, I think, a very underrated story about last year. That's Nolan Chanuel. Mm-hmm. Listen, this guy was drafted in June, first round, 11th overall, and made his debut like a month later, which is unheard of, especially in baseball. And you know, you gave Vinny P his credit for kind of breaking the mold in some respect for first base, and that's kind of what Nolan Chanuel's game is as well. He's not really known for his power, more for his hit tool, but still put up a respectable, I think, like 780 OPS last year. I'm trying to pull it up real quick.
He was solid for sure.
Yeah, so he was like super solid. Sorry, 730 OPS last year. So like super solid last year. And it's just going to be interesting to see, like, how much value can he provide being a first baseman that doesn't hit for power? That's kind of the question a lot of MLB teams are asking themselves nowadays. It's like first baseman historically, it's like, it doesn't matter if how good of a defender you are. Like if you hit bombs, you're playing first base. And now that everyone has the DH and, you know, the kind of thought process around that position has changed a little bit and maybe prioritize defense a little bit more and are more open to a contact tool over a power tool at first base. So it'll just be interesting to see how his kind of career develops. Having a pretty solid spring training thus far with his 780 OPS is what I was thinking. That's what he has currently in spring training. Has a home run in spring training. He only had one home run and 132 plate appearances last year. So maybe he will provide a little bit more power, maybe be in the teens for home runs, and it won't be too much of not necessarily an eyesore, but when you see the lack of home run production at first base, obviously everyone like raises the red flag, but I don't think there necessarily is a need to raise one with Nolan Chanuel.
That's a great pick. He's a very intriguing player. Good comp to Vinny P. I'm going to go ahead and go with Logan Ohapi as my player.
I really like that pick.
He got off to a very good start before missing most of the season with an injury. I can't actually remember what it was, but yeah, he was looking like he was going to be that guy, maybe that next really good player for the Angels. And I still think he can be. So I you know, it's pretty much just a wait and see, because he only played like 30, 40 games last year, I think. So pretty excited to see what he's got. He's going to have the full support to be the number one guy as their catcher. So yeah, he'll be intriguing. There's some storylines at least with the Angels. You know, we got to see, sure. I mean, Trout again, if he plays a full season, all of a sudden he's back, probably back in the MVP conversation.
Yep.
With the way that his rate stats have looked. So there's some intrigue there. They're not going to be that good, but there's at least a reason to watch.
Yep, for sure. All right, moving on to our say something nice about the Athletic segment. I will say it was not as difficult as I would have thought to pick three players from the lineup and the pitching staff. They do have some potential, led by Zach Gelof, Brett Rooker, and Estuary Ruiz, for different reasons. Like, those three players are, they do not fit the same mold. They each have their strengths and weaknesses. And then in their rotation, JP Sears, Paul Blackburn, and Alex Wood. They also added Ross Stripling. Like, I think the A's at least won't be as bad, if, you know, that's nice enough to say. But the guy I want to talk about, Zach Gelof, when he made his debut, it's like second half, somewhere around there, around midseason, he was excellent. And obviously, because he was on the Athletics, I don't think he got the shine he deserved. This kid had 300 plate appearances, hit 14 bombs. I mean, with getting him another year under his belt and obviously extrapolating that over a full season, this is a 30 home run potential guy at second base, which is kind of rare. And not to mention, he can also steal bags. He stole 14 bags. So if you kind of double that, he has potential to be a 30-30 guy. He had an 840 OPS last year in his rookie year. I am really, really excited about this kid. It seems like the A's at least got that first foundational piece what's longer than a rebuild? I don't know, like there's no re, like, you're just
renegotiation.
Yeah, like I don't know, but whatever the Athletics are doing, I think Zach Gelof is like the first piece into doing that. So really excited to see what he does in kind of year 1.5/year 2.
Yeah, and it's definitely hard to figure out what their goal is right now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I went with Tony Kemp.
And I laughed so hard when you said that.
If you're confused, it's because he's not actually on the A's right now. But he just feels like an Athletic. I mean, come on. Like, let's be honest here. It feels like he's going to find his way back there. So I just put Tony Kemp as a little bit of a joke. If I had to pick somebody other than Zach Gelof, I'd go with Ryan Noda. He's at least interesting as a high on base guy. Hit pretty well last year. Can't play a lick of defense, but you know what? I'm trying to find something here. So that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't blame him. All right, pick the AL West.
All right, so I'm getting weird with the AL West. Last year I was too passive with my predictions and it didn't work. This year I'm changing.
Start calling
that.
You Jeff Passive.
not this year, because I'm going with the Seattle Mariners.
Are you really? Wow.
To win the division.
Wow.
Let's go, M's. This is kind of a more so, I just don't want to see the Astros at the top anymore type of pick. But there is that rotation is very, very good. And if it hits its ceiling, they can actually carry this team to a division title. And they have a solid lineup. There's no doubt. There's definitely, and there's bounce back candidates everywhere. I mean, Ty France basically had the same hitting metrics as he did in 2022 and was about 20 points worse in terms of WRC plus. I could see him going right back to having a good season. That's a big
bounce back candidate.
But it's definitely some wishful thinking here to put the Mariners at the top spot, obviously, because they haven't won their division in 2 decades. But you know, why not? Let's have some fun. I got the Rangers coming in at second and Astros at third. I think all three teams are going to be right neck and neck again, like they were last year. So that's going to be a fun division to watch for that battle. And then the Angels coming in at fourth, and obviously the A's at last. They're probably going to be, you know what? I'm going to give the White Sox the worst record in baseball, but I'm going to go with the A's at number 5 in the West.
Yep. Agreed with the A's. I would love the Mariners to win the division. I don't think they get there. I do think it's the Astros.
Definitely fair.
It's certainly not as aggressive as you are. I do think the Mariners finish in second. I think the Rangers pitching is really going to hurt them.
Yeah.
I get why they feel they can't invest more into the starting pitching staff because they're paying Scherzer, they're paying DeGrom, they're paying Eovaldi, they're paying Gray. So it's really tough. I think they win like 85 games and finish in third. And whereas the Mariners might win like 89 or something like that.
I think the first half of the season specifically, they might struggle because of before they get some guys back from
injury. That being said, like in 2025, next year when we do this, I would probably pick the Rangers to win the division. That lineup is so damn good. So I still think they're going to be really solid, but I think the pitching is going to be really, really tough. So I'll go Astros, Mariners, Rangers, Angels, Athletics.
Yep. That's just going to be a really fun division. Honestly, really both the West and East in this are going to be really fun. And then you got some actual intrigue in the Central. There's some at least young talent there. So American League, interesting this year for sure.
Yep, for sure. So that does it for this episode. Next episode, we will be tackling all of the National League. In the meantime, be sure to follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB. Follow us on TikTok at DistrictBaseball. If you're listening to this on the audio platform, be sure to check us out on YouTube at DistrictBaseball. Hit the subscribe button. Follow us everywhere. Our handles are down below if you are watching on YouTube, which we appreciate you doing so. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, let's go baseball.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.